What we just read is the real Lord's Prayer. And isn't it amazing that in verse 3, Jesus, in this prayer, names Himself. Did you notice that? Perhaps the first time. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus names Himself in this prayer. An amazing prayer. It's been called the Mount Everest of Scripture. This prayer. The second thing I want to note by way of introduction is that this prayer only takes 6 to 7 minutes to read. But it is full of depth. It would take a lifetime to understand this prayer. It is not the length of your prayer, but the weight of your prayer that matters. And this is a weighty prayer. Thirdly, you can divide the prayer into three sections, as many commentators have done. Verses 1 to 5, Jesus prays for Himself. Verses 6 to 19, Jesus prays for His disciples. Verses 20 to 26, Jesus prays for all future members of the church. And so you are covered in this prayer. Jesus prayed for you even before you were born. And all the babies that have not come into this world, they are covered too. It says in Hebrews 7:25, therefore He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. So not only was Jesus praying for us there 2,000 years ago, but His high priestly ministry continues till today. And He is praying for you by name, for every need. You may think that you are the only one going through this cruel problem, this difficulty. Jesus is praying for you by name and in this particular matter that you're going through. And so this morning I want to look at why this prayer, John 17, is the greatest prayer ever prayed. There are three reasons. Number one, the person who prayed this prayer. Number two, the reason for the prayer. And number three, the content. So let's first look at the person who prayed this prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ names Himself in verse 3. And this is the one who was God in the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1. He is God. He was the creator of all things. John chapter 1, verse 3. He became flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14. He was the Word. He was the Lamb of God. He was the Son of God, verse 34 of John chapter 1. He is the bread of life, John chapter 6, verse 35. He is the light of the world, John chapter 8. Do you see the significance that the God of the universe is praying to His Heavenly Father? It is a great mystery. Why does God have to pray? Well, the greater mystery and the greater challenge is this. Is this, if the Son of God felt such a need to pray, how much more should we be praying? to our Heavenly Father. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did not work independently of His Father. And we see that in this prayer. There is this oneness with the Heavenly Father. And those who think they don't need to pray are independent operators, operating on our own flesh, our own wisdom, our own experience. Well, you don't have to pray. But if you want to be interdependent and completely reliant on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, then you should be praying as Jesus did. And so the person who prays this prayer is so important, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sets the divine pattern for us and the motivation for us to be prayerful. If the world is going to be reached for Christ, we need to advance on our knees before we cry out the name of Jesus. Advance on your knees and see the salvation of the world. Let's look at the second aspect, why this prayer is the greatest prayer, and the reason why Jesus prayed. In verse 1 he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. The hour is come. This talks of an appointment, a divine appointment. And Jesus recognizes that this is the reason why He came. Now you know that He's about to go to the cross. This prayer was prayed just before He went to the cross. And so Jesus recognizes, Jesus says, Father, the hour, the appointment, the divine appointment has come. Glorify your Son. I wonder if we could use some biblical imagination and go into the councils of heaven and overhear a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. God the Father calls His Son, beckons Him and says, Son, the only way that this world is going to be saved is if you would go into this world as man, fully God and fully man. And if you would die on that cross, and if you would be the sin bearer of the sin of the world, and if you would undertake this mission. That's the only way, the Father says to the Son. The Father waits and says to the Son, Son, will you go? And the Son says, yes, I will. And that is why Jesus came into this world. In obedience to God's plan of salvation, God's love for mankind. And so He has reached this point in His life and He says, Father, the hour has come. The appointment to die on the cross awaits me. Glorify your Son. Glorify your Son that the Son may glorify you. See the interdependence again. The Father and the Son. Glorify the Son that the Son may glorify you. We always think of glory as great things, glorious and big, powerful, to have lots of property, to have lots of money, to be famous, to have a big house, to have many followers on Facebook. Well, the glory that Jesus refers to here is His death on the cross. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So when Jesus is talking about glorify the Son, He's saying, Lord, this is my moment. Death, crucifixion, humiliation. You know, Christ's work on the cross is greater than the glories of His creation. He created the heavenlies. He created the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets. But Jesus, by Jesus' reckoning, this is the most glorious part. Not creation, but the Son of God dying on the cross for mankind. The salvation of people and eternal life is what Jesus thinks is most glorious. And then in verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There is only one true God. And we know this God through Jesus, the Son of God. He gives eternal life, both as a quality of life and as a quantity of life. Eternal as in ongoing, everlasting. Eternal as in abundant, meaningful, purposeful life. And so this is the reason, can you see, that Jesus is praying that the mission of God will be complete. And we are all here this morning because of this prayer, because of the fulfillment of this prayer, because of the obedience of the Son. And so the person who prayed this prayer, makes this prayer so vital, so critical. The reason for this prayer makes this prayer an absolutely important prayer, the most important prayer. Thirdly, the content of this prayer is the mission of God. Did you see this prayer that way? There are three aspects to this content. In verse 6, Jesus says, "For I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." Do you see? Six times Jesus is talking about, you gave them to me. I am handing over them to you. You gave them to me, and I am handing them over to you. Dear friends, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And those who believe, the Son takes and wraps them up in His blood and gives them as a gift to God the Father. If you are feeling small, if you are feeling depressed, if you feel that you have no self-esteem, then I invite you to consider this, that we are so precious to God that we are interchanged. We are gifts that are being exchanged between the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son love us so much that next to the Trinity, it's us in terms of glory, in terms of power. It's us, it's not the angels, it's not the heavenly creatures. It is sinful people who have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so the mission of God is in this prayer, and the mission of God is that we are gifts exchanged between Father and Son. I hope that will encourage you, that we are gifts given by the Father to the Son, and by the Son to the Father. And not to forget too, that this missionary prayer in verse 18 says, "And you are, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So God, in this missionary prayer, Jesus in this missionary prayer, says to us that we are now part of His mission. We are part of this mission. And no one is excluded, because it says, "As you sent me, I have sent them into the world." All of us. You say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." No, you're sent. You say, "Well, I don't belong to a mission organization." Jesus says you are sent. You say, "Well, you know, I'm a tradie, I'm a teacher, I'm an accountant." You are sent. You have to live in this sentness, this aspect of sentness. And all believers are sent. There was a church in Canada, and they had a huge sign as the cars were, you know, driving past the gate of the church. There was a huge sign that said, "Thank you for visiting our church. You are now entering the mission field." So the mission field begins when you get into your car and you leave this church. That's the mission field. You're sent. Your places of work, yes, God has sent you there. You may be the only light in that dark place. You are sent. And that is being sent by Jesus Christ Himself. So this is the missionary content. We are gifts being exchanged between Father and Son. Jesus has sent us. And number three, the mission prayer content of this prayer is this. We see in verse 2 and 3, "As you have given Him authority over all flesh, that He," Christ, "should give eternal life to as many as you have given Him." Do you see? Jesus is longing. The word "should" give eternal life to as many is talking about a future tense, about those who are not in the family of God at this moment. And what Jesus is saying is that His mission is not complete until all who have a chance to hear the message, and come to Him and glorify Him and glorify the Father. And that's where we come in. The salvation of people, those who do not know Jesus Christ, is the most glorious thing for God, as far as God is concerned. And so, dear friends, this missionary prayer is meant to encourage and motivate us and strengthen us and reinforce us in our resolve for missions. The mission of God comes from the Father, and it involves the Son. and we are gifts exchanged between Father and Son. The mission of God involves us. We are sent. The mission of God is not complete until all hear the gospel and respond to His message. What a prayer. Do you feel like you've climbed Mount Everest? I hope that this will stimulate you to continue reading this prayer. I was on the edge of one of the villages in remote Nepal many years ago. I think it was in the late 90s. And I was dedicating a new church. And they brought me to the edge of the village. And they said, beyond this village, there are no churches. This is as far as Christianity has come. And I saw smoke arising in the distant hills. And I said, what is that? And it smelt terrible. And they said, this village practices killing children. To ensure that the harvest will be good. Not just Christless, not just godless, but hopeless. Hopeless. Sacrificing children. And I said, how long will it take to get the gospel there? And the missionary and the pastor said, as soon as we can get someone there, we will go and preach. And so whether it is the unreached villages of Nepal who are Christless, hopeless, or whether it is your own community as you leave this church, Jesus says that He has come to give eternal life. This is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God sent Jesus. Jesus sends you. Let us pray. Let us just pause to think of those who are hopeless today. We've never even heard the name Jesus Christ. Never heard of the cross. They could be in faraway villages. They could be your neighbor. They could be the person you work with day in and day out. They could be the person you share a home with. Jesus prayed this prayer. One of the few prayers that He prayed loudly. Oh, what a prayer. Because in this prayer, there is the missionary heart of God. So I encourage you today, as you have read this prayer, as you have heard His word, that you will say, yes, Lord, I am sent. I am a gift from God. And the Father and the Son are exchanging me as gifts. It's wonderful. But God's glory is incomplete. God's mission is incomplete until the ones who are outside the camp also come into communion with the living Lord Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life
the only one true God, and Jesus Christ, who was sent into this world. Father, we pray that Bazandine Church of Christ will advance on its knees, will be the sent ones, will be so appreciative that we are gifts between Father and Son, that we will go all out to win the loss, come what may, at whatever cost it is to us, so that God's glory will be complete, that the mission of Jesus Christ, the mission of the triune God, will be fulfilled through us. So, Lord, we are your servants. Be merciful to us. Hear our prayer and encourage us to advance your gospel. In Jesus' precious name we pray.